नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Verse 23, evam nivasatas tasya lalayanasya tatsutan kalo jagan mahanarajan astasitayusha sama. My dear king, while he thus spent his time in abominable sinful activities to maintain his family of many sons, 88 years of his life passed by. Text 24, please repeat. Tasya pravayasaha putra dasha esham tuyo mama balo narayano namna pitaros cha daito prisham Tasya pravayasha putra dasha tesham tuyo vama balo narayano namna pitaroscha daito vrisham Tasya pravayasha putra dasa tesham tuyo vama balo narayano namna pitarosha daito vrisham tasya pravashma tasya pravayasha putra Dasatesham tuyo vama balo narayano namna pitaroscha daito vrisham of him ajamya pravayasa who was very old putra sons Dasha, ten. Tesham, of all of them. Two, but. Yaha, the one who. Avama, the youngest. Balaha, child. Narayanaha, Narayana. Namna, by name, Pitaro, of the father and mother, Cha, and Daita, dear, Vrisham, very. Translation. That old man Ajamil had 10 sons, of whom the youngest was a baby named Narayana. Since Narayana was the youngest of all the sons, he was naturally very dear to both his father and his mother. Purport. The word pravayasa indicates Ajamil's sinfulness because although he was 88 years old, he had a very young son, a very young child. According to Vedic culture, one should leave home as soon as he has reached 50 years of age. One should not live at home and go on producing children. Sex life is allowed for 25 years, between the ages of 25 and 45, or at the most, 50. After that, one should give up the habit of sex life and leave home as a vanaprastha, and then properly take sannyas. Ajamil, however, because of his association with the prostitute, lost all Brahminical culture and became most sinful, even in his so-called household life. So here we have Ajamil, who is the example that is given to us, that if somebody will simply surrender to the Lord, no matter what their condition, then they become free from all sin. And the Yamadutas no longer will come and visit them. It says even in dreams, the Yamadutas will not come. So this is very instructive in many ways for us. Because here we see very sinful person, very attached to his sexual indulgence, that he is 88 years old and he's still having children. And they are very attached to their children. So we can see that there is no interest in spiritual life. The means of livelihood is also not proper. Ajamil is gambling, cheating, or just outright dacoitry. He maintains his family with so many sons and his wife. So he is very, it is not a good picture. This example is very appropriate in that someone is very attached to this material energy. So what is being brought out is that even someone who is so sinfully inclined, who has so many bad qualities, that they just once will surrender to the Lord, then they will be free from all sinful reactions. This is important. It means, of course, we understand that Krishna removes everything but our present reactions. That we're not worried about. The reaction that's already come, like this material body, this is our reaction to our previous sinful activities. Sinful, pious, whatever, our material activities, we receive this body. So that's not going to go away. You just start chanting Hare Krishna and puff, it's gone. You know, you're there in your spiritual form. That we're not expecting. And whatever we're due from whatever we've done, we are not expecting Krishna to remove that because of surrender. Because of the same reason that this sinful desire seeds, the growth of those seeds and the mundane arrangements to affect those are removed by devotional service. In the same way then, we are not worried that these things, we're not asking Krishna to remove this for us. In the beginning, this may be a stage why we turn to Krishna. The material world is very difficult, very dangerous, very painful. So it's natural when we have difficulty, we turn to Krishna. That all the devotees do. But there's a difference in the quality of that turning to Krishna. One way is that we turn to Krishna and with the demand that he remove all the difficulties. And if so, then definitely he must be God. The process must be wonderful. All the devotees are great in the temples and everything's very nice. But if he doesn't remove, then we have some problems, some difficulty that maybe there's something wrong in the process. Maybe I made a mistake. My mother was right after all. You know, I was crazy for joining this movement. You know? So if that aspect we will find is not the superior of the two. The others we turn to Krishna because there is no other shelter other than Krishna. And Krishna is the only one to protect us. So protecting us means that we maintain our Krishna consciousness because that is reality. That is real. So what we want to protect is something real. It's just like we have a bad dream. And in the bad dream, we're losing so many things. So then we pray to Krishna, in my bad dream, I will not lose so many things. And then if the dream doesn't continue, Krishna arranges that we're woken up. Then we think, this is not very good. What happened to all my nice bad dream? If we're very happy, then Krishna wakes us up and shows us that it was a bad dream. So all these things are not real. They don't have any substance. They cannot actually affect us. and disturbance. It means anything material, that is not a really a disturbance. Maybe an annoyance, but it's not a disturbance. So we take shelter of Krishna, that our remembrance of Krishna, our dependence on Krishna, that may remain. Because something must be lost. See, this is the aspect of the jiva. Something must be lost. You either have Krishna or you have Maya. You can't have both. Right? Even we see this fact, this principle in the material world. You cannot have something and then also have, let's say you have a certain amount of money. You can buy one thing or another. You cannot buy both things. So in the same way, as to that degree we surrender to Krishna, we have Krishna. And that degree that we don't, then we have Maya. So now the choice is ours. Do we want Krishna to protect our Maya or Krishna to protect our Krishna consciousness? That is the choice we have. And to that degree we surrender, that is maintained. And that degree we're not, that is still remains. So like this, with time, that goes. So here is even being pointed out that this is a, what we just discussed, is a finer point of devotional service. We're pointing out here that someone who has just once, very nicely, feelingly surrendered to Krishna, even if he has not realized Krishna, this is in a very important point. Right? Because we've surrendered to Krishna. Because so many times Prabhupada says, one who has surrendered to Krishna. Excuse me. They are devotees. So, here, someone who has surrendered once, they are free from all sin. The Yamadutas are not going to come. So if we dwell too much on the person's sinful activities, then, like Dharmaraj pointed out in his relationship with Kaliraj, that if I dwell on Kaliraj's bad points, and what I feel that he himself personally, as an individual, is doing to me, and that is wrong, I will simply with time develop the same qualities. That's all. He says a very simple thing. I just contemplate these things, and because I'm thinking about them, then Krishna in the heart will sanction these thoughts. And I'm thinking about these, and I will develop these qualities. It's natural. The three modes of nature will arrange. I have that interest. If I have no interest, I don't think of anything, right? Let us say I am not interested in, let's say, underwater basket weaving. I never think of it. I will never think of it in my life, because I have no interest. But now let us say I'm thinking about someone all the time, because of something they're doing, there's some interest there. Some interest is there. But it's just whether it's positive or negative. But either one, positive or negative, will create the same result. The principle will get the same principle. Right? Just like Kamsa thought of Krishna, he got Krishna. But since he thought in an unfavorable way, he got Krishna in an unfavorable way. The relationship. Well, the other devotees thought of him favorably, and they get Krishna favorably. So that contemplation on one thing, that will create, that will manifest. So whether it's positive or negative, that is the thing. So we have to see beyond that to Krishna. See, the problem only comes if we don't see Krishna in the equation. Then we see that this other person is the doer, and I'm the receiver. Or I'm the doer, the other person is the receiver. Right here, Ajamil thinks he is doing so many nice things, dacoitry and all, good things to maintain the family. And so therefore he gets bound up in this. So as long as we see just ourselves and the effect around us, we become bound by this. But as soon as we see Krishna's hand in it, that by the modes of nature it has been arranged in this way, then we find we are freed from this. So as we surrender to Krishna and we understand these points more and more, we become more and more free. We become more and more, how you say, we're not affected by these reactions. But in any case, the devotee is special. They've surrendered at even once to Krishna. The Yamadutas will not come. This doesn't mean we don't forget. We surrender. Just that we've done that once, that's it. No more Yamadutas. But it doesn't mean that we might not forget Krishna and still, you know, engage in material activities. So we must see here that this is very special, how do you say, special example is that Ajamil, despite all the nonsense, his story is still worth speaking about in Bhagavatam for the benefit of us learning, you know, proper behavior and proper siddhanta. Forgot where I started from. Went off on a nice tangent. I can't remember what it was. So, yeah. Basically, the point we have to be very careful is that we ourselves overly contemplate or overly, harp on points on other devotees that we feel are improper behavior. Because there's two positions that are there. One, we are in a position to help them, to guide them, to improve their conduct, either by instruction, by example, in some way. Then it is natural that we'll point out the bad effects. In other words, we will look from ourselves to them. But otherwise, if that's not the case, generally we'll see it in the opposite. We will see it that by Krishna's arrangement, this is the situation in which the reactions to my sinful activities, my own sinful activities, are being manifest. Like this. Then we do not become disturbed, because it's not the person then. It's what's behind that. We ourselves have something to learn. And if we didn't, we would be in a different situation, or we would not be disturbed. Yudhishthira was not disturbed. He went through so much. Years and years and years. They were disturbed. They didn't get the throne as soon as they came of age. Right? They were in their mid and late teens. Maybe early 20s. Yudhishthira and Bhima. Maybe not. Yeah, maybe. I think Yudhishthira was like 21, Bhima was like 19, Arjuna was just below that, and then Nakula, Sahadeva. That may have been when they were out in the forest. So just at the age when they're supposed to be coming to the throne, they had already accepted half the kingdom. Then after that, they get that taken away. And then they lose more. Well, that was the first time. No, that was the time. They were that age when the pastime of the house of lack, and they were hiding. Because during that time, that's when they went to the Swayambhar and got Draupadi. Is later than they went. So from that age, they were already having difficulty. Then, despite that, they come back, no hard feelings. Then they accept half the kingdom. And then after that, then there's so much difficulty. They go to the forest for 14 years. Then they come back, still problem. Yudhishthira still is not disturbed. But because of he's not allowing them to perform their dharma, of even just having one village, right? They must live by taking tax, managing and taking tax. So just give one village, right, for each brother. Then they're happy. He still doesn't feel bad because they won't even give that. So this is totally against dharma. Okay, if he had given them that, okay, it may not be the most ideal, but at least they can perform their prescribed duties as their service to Krishna. But being that removed, then they either have to go to the forest, you know, and take sannyas, or they have to fight as kings. Only then the war came about. And still it's based on dharma. It's not based on Yudhishthira's disturbed. Bhima is disturbed. Draupadi is disturbed. Yudhishthira is not disturbed. So many years. So we can see that it's not a few years of something is disturbing us, and then it's time that we can say so many things. Here, great devotees, it's so much more time. So we have to be very careful when we're pointing out these difficulties in others, that we ourselves are very careful that if we don't see Krishna in it, we may catch those same qualities. Because as we pointed out at the beginning, you only have interest in something. You only notice something you have interest in. Otherwise, so many things are happening here. How many things anyone notices? Right? How many here have noticed that the drains on that road there don't work and they don't have a drain? Even they do work, there's no place for them to drain into. How many here have noticed? Right? You don't have interest in drains. Okay, one person, two people. They deal with this kind of thing. Three people, okay. Right? I notice because I make all kinds of drains in the guru. You know, it's one of our pastimes is making interesting drains. So I notice that. But others don't notice. And there's so many other things that others will notice, I won't notice. So you have interest and you notice, either in a positive or negative way. So if there is a quality that we see in someone that we don't like, it's because we can relate to that quality. That is important. Maybe in a positive, maybe we have it in a positive way, or interest in a positive, they have it in a negative, so we're able to notice. So we have to make sure that our motive here is beneficial. Otherwise, we'll increase the negative side and decrease the positive side that we may have. But if you notice it in relationship with Krishna, then it can only be beneficial. So one has to be very careful. Then, here other point, specifically in the purports here, is that Prabhupada points out this word, pravayasa, which means here, who was very old. Then that says that indicates Ajamil's sinfulness, because it means he's 88 here, like that. And he had a very young son, youngest of all. So that means in his late 80s, he's still interested in having children. And basically might have continued just that he got too old and he dies, you know, before he's finished with all these things. So Prabhupada's pointing out in the Vedic culture that one is trying to wind these things down. Very much. That is very much in the mind. The whole purpose of the whole culture is to detach yourself from Maya and attach yourself to Krishna. So then, this is one of the areas of attachment. Very natural attachment is that of sexual attachment. So this being a very central point in the life of the living entity, in the material world, then methods are given how to engage that to properly cut it off. Means the attachment is there. So Krishna says that in the Gita, by performing prescribed duties, you become free from sin, free from attachment, and one becomes enlightened if one has the proper knowledge. So therefore, whatever the prescribed duty, one will be purified in that area. Whatever prescribed duty of the four varnas, four ashrams that one performs, one becomes purified in that area. One becomes enlightened. One has understanding of the meaning behind these duties, their purifying effect, their connection with Krishna, their benefits, as long as they're performed properly with knowledge. So we see here Ajamil, he is not becoming purified because he has no knowledge. For him it is not prescribed duty. He is not having children out of prescribed duty. He is having children simply because he wants to. Right? They're an actual byproduct, and I guess in those days they hadn't invented the pill, so somehow he ends up with all these kids. But also in those days, they didn't mind having children, because it was part of the whole rasa, you know, part of the whole seed. You know, like Prabhupada once was, I say, at one life member's house, very nice, pious man, invited Prabhupada and all the devotees to lunch and that. And after lunch, then Swamiji is sitting, they give him a nice seat, and then the man comes and his wife comes, and then one by one, all his like 10 children came. You know, this one's this and doing this, and this one's that, going to this school, and this one's in college, and this one's this, and that one's. Went through all of them. And afterwards, you know, Prabhupada, yes, yes, smiling and everything through the whole thing. Then after they left, and okay, Prabhupada will take some rest now, and they all leave. So Prabhupada says, you know what all this, what all that meant? So then the devotees are thinking. Devotees are thinking, you know, so many things. You know, naturally, when Prabhupada asks a question, devotees come up many varieties of answers, except for the one that Prabhupada actually was looking for. So they're saying this, that, so many things. And Prabhupada says, no. He says he's very happily showing off, see how much sex life I've had. 10 children, see? Nice children, nice, good sex. So he said it like this, because he was very proud. And these are my children, you know, myself, my wife, we have worked together hard, created them, brought them up. But rather than thinking that these are Krishna's children, by performance of my prescribed duties, then children are coming. And by our prescribed duties, we are maintaining them, taking care for Krishna's service. So because one is not seeing Krishna, then the focus becomes the sex life. And when one sees Krishna, then that is not the focus. That is part of the prescribed duties. It's part of the overall, how you say, it's part of the package deal. So now if one has knowledge of actually the difficulties of such things, then one becomes purified by these things. Gita says if one sacrifices the senses into the sense objects, then one, that is one way that one group of yogis becomes purified, or the grihastha. The grihastha brahmacharis, they become purified in this way. That they see that what the shastra says, and the senses are engaged with the sense objects in the way the shastra mentions, they see that the reaction that the shastra says will come, comes. And in this way they become more determined to become fixed in their devotional service. This way they gain that knowledge. So they become free, they become purified. So for one who has such interest, then this is an important aspect of purification of ourselves through the performance of prescribed duties, is that we are able to come to that platform of detachment. So Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that from 25 to 45, actually 50, he's saying that these things should be going on, then they should be finished. Because otherwise, this is a natural amount of time to figure it out, understand. What are the difficulties? What are the problems? how that the satisfaction that the mind is thinking, not us, the soul, the mind is thinking, I will get so much satisfaction. It doesn't get that. Something is there, but not what we're thinking we're going to get. So therefore, it's recommended not to get overly involved. How much one needs to purify oneself, not more than that. Otherwise, one will be frustrated. So this is what is being pointed out here, that in the Vedic culture, this is the proper thrust, because the goal is to get to Krishna, become a pure and alloyed devotee of Krishna. We'll become a pure and alloyed devotee of Krishna when we come to the Brahma-Bhuta stage. We will come to the Brahma-Bhuta platform when we are freed from material attachment. And we see with proper vision. Right? Means the sage who sees with equal vision, that is because of knowledge. Because of knowledge, he can see the dog, the doggy, the Brahman, the cow, as equal. They're all servants of Krishna. Just some are in a more fortunate position, some are not. And he is able to follow the etiquette that he will deal with the Brahman in one way, the elephant in another, the mahout in another, and the dog in another. But they're all Krishna's servants. So that is because of knowledge. So therefore, then when one performs the duties, one is elevated. So Ajamiya, because of his illusion, he is not being elevated, he's only being contaminated. Right? But still, we will see, because of his surrender to the Supreme Lord, he is benefited. So even such a sinful wretch as Ajamiya, then can be delivered, let alone anyone else. In previous purport, Prabhupada mentioned comparing the sinful reactions that a living entity can accrue in the material world is paltry, a handful. It's nothing compared to the holy name. So as we gain that faith in the holy name, we will see the removal of sinful reactions is actually the small part. Then that goes very easily. Haridas Thakur was very strong on this point in an assembly of brahmanas. He was saying that just by the dim reflection of the holy name, all sins are removed and one is liberated. And this Brahman, he could not accept this, because he was very absorbed that the prescribed duty itself is what is creating the purification. But Haridas Thakur was pointing out, no, it's the consciousness what is creating that. And not only that, it's the holy name of the Supreme Lord Himself, not different. He is the supreme pure. You can put a huge amount of impure things out in the sun, they'll all be purified. It doesn't matter how many you put. You put one, or you put thousands, the sun doesn't care, it's that big. So the same way, the holy name is so pure, whether someone has a few sinful activities or unlimited sinful activities, it's nothing to him. Since we have this faith, then we can see that the real method, which is the purpose of this whole section, is that by devotional service only will we become purified and come to the transcendental platform, not by any other process. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Mentioning about the mind around family life and then gets to the activity. So I can understand that in a lot of other cases, especially in the Indian culture, which is set up for that kind of situation. But in our own society, I find there's so many turmoils. Really, it seems
Nice point here. Vyapti is making that. That one, we see in the here the, you know, the Vedic culture is mentioned here. The ideal is that, like at this age, around 50, that one tries to gear oneself that one can leave the home and the family and take up the vanaprastha life. But we see now in, like, you know, contemporary society, things are a bit topsy-turvy, that someone is leaving the family, taking sannyas, then they go back into this, you know, husband and wife, you know, decide it's time finished, they take vanaprastha, and then after a while, they get married again. All these things are going on. So what is the problem if the if it is favorable to Krishna consciousness, the family is Krishna conscious, staying in this position, and in this way furthering one's Krishna consciousness. So technically, there's no problem in this, as long as that favorableness is there. So there's many things to look at in this, is that unless one has the ideal to go by, then one never will get anywhere. Just like Prabhupada mentions, unless you try to shoot the rhinoceros, then you're not going to end up with anything. You know, so at least if you try, and if you don't, okay. Who is doing it anyway? But at the same time, is if you don't set a high standard, you'll end up with something less. Just like in business, who are people that, let's say I decide I have some money, I have an interest in business, I think I have, I feel I have an ability in business. Who do I take example from? The local panwala down at the corner? Or I think about, you know, the guy running Microsoft or other guys like that. You know, they, you know, produce a couple of million or a billion a day, right? Which am I going to be inspired by? So I take naturally the higher example and go for that. Like examples of how to manage. Who are we saying? The guy that runs the local go down or something? No. Dhruva Maharaj was managing the whole universe. Priyavrata managing the whole universe. You know, all these other personalities who are emperors of the world, this, that. From them we can see what are the principles behind the activity we're trying to perform. And from that, we try to get to that standard. We may not make it to that standard, but we set our goal on that. So that itself is a very important principle. So now, understanding that, that we may judge the situation and see, okay, for myself, that may be difficult. For me, it's better to remain as a householder because I know myself, I know my desires, this, that. I leave this, there's a good chance I'm going to end up in some other place. So, you know, what is it? Better. So that better we don't, you know, be proper and continue with who we are with rather than leave this person and then end up with someone else. Right? So that is fine. Now, as long as we take this in a spirit of humility and what is the ideal situation, there's no problem. I personally have no problem with that. I think not many people would not have a problem with that. Where the problem comes is when we start to say, this is the standard. It is okay. No, it's okay for me in my particular situation. Everyone else is an individual. And as soon as we make blanket rules that are not standard, that's when the problem starts. Because then you cannot back that up by Shastra. Much, as a blanket rule. The blanket rule is there. 50, everyone should plan to leave. Whether one makes it at that time, that's another. It may take him to 60, Prabhupada was 55. But he was planning, he was waiting for that moment, you know. He waited until the moment when his, took the advantage when his wife started doing book distribution of his own books. Then he decided, now it's time to go preach. See, my wife has started the example. She is preaching now, distributing my books, so I will also now go out and take this very seriously. So he waited for the right moment. Right? So like that. So one cannot, one has to be very careful of this Atmavan Manyate Jagat. How I'm thinking, the whole world thinks. This keeps us in a humble state. Otherwise, we think, this is standard, I become proud. And then I become attached to it and rooted in it. When the idea is, this is favorable for my Krishna consciousness to purify me, not to become attached to it. Being situated in grihastha life is favorable for my Krishna consciousness. It's not the household life that's the thing. It's that being situated in there, that those duties are still beneficial for me to purify my heart. So I do those duties. Like that. It's the duties that are purifying me. So that has to be done with knowledge and detachment. Then it works. So however long one has to stay, no problem. We see how you say? Because sannyas is detachment. That we are performing our activities without desiring the fruits for ourselves. So it doesn't matter what one's position, even when it's a grihastha, if that is the mood, one is sannyas. Right? We see the Pandavas, they did not take sannyas, they took vanaprastha. They went with their wife Draupadi and Mahaprasthan and walked north. And they walked until they could not walk anymore. Because of Yudhishthira's purity, he walked all the way to the top of the Himalayas, to the place that only the demigods could go. Well, all his other brothers and his wife, they had some material attachment, they couldn't get that far. They were attached to their strength, their beauty, their overeating, you know, like this. But, so the example is that. We follow Yudhishthira's example on this. Not, okay, Arjuna was also a pure devotee and he was attached to his abilities, so they're proud of his archery. So then, it's okay. No, we have to be very careful of that. That's Maya's trick. Otherwise, then we may end up taking many births to work that out. But we know it's not ideal, but because I still have these attachments, therefore I will be best situated in this way. In other words, it's due to my disqualification I'm still sticking to this. But this is Krishna's direction on how to become qualified. So anyone who is honest will accept that. That I am purified by performing the duties of Grihastha Ashram. I'm not purified enough to go to the next ashram. Therefore, I stay to it. Then someone else will, okay. They can appreciate what is thoughtful. It's done on the platform of knowledge, not sentiment. Not attachment to the wife and kids. Because that in no way is necessarily beneficial. It is that you know that these are the duties that I can relate to because of my mind, my intelligence, my ego, my body, and I'm able to become purified at this. At the same time, as if someone else finds another situation favorable, we accept that. Right? So just like those who are not in the grihastha ashram, they shouldn't tell the grihastha, oh, you're just attached, this, that, and maya. Same time as those in the grihastha ashram shouldn't tell the others, well, why don't you get it together and get honest like we are, you know, because we know you're lusty, this, that, and like that. There has to be this actual understanding of the philosophy and based on relationships and what we do based on knowledge, dealings with others based on knowledge. Like that. That's the important part. The sage sees with equal vision, but he knows how to perform the etiquette. He doesn't treat the Brahman like the dog, or the dog like the Brahman. Like that. He teaches them according to how they relate to. Like that. So the brahmachari will always be respectful of the grihastha. They're senior to him. Because of their maturity taking those particular responsibilities they do. Same time as the grihastha is always, you know, tries to be very kind and that to the brahmachari. So like this, the relationships are there, though each one is the best situation for that person, individual, to advance. And that's the most important. Like that. So that's
I was just going to add to it, and it's the same, that ideals are like trying to touch the stars. It may not be possible, but just like the sailors, they're guided by the stars.
Yeah.
They're guided by their ideals.
It's a nice point. Maybe the point is that is saying that our ideals are like trying to touch the stars. We may not be able to do it, but like the sailor, he is guided by these stars. He navigates himself according to the stars, though he may not be able to touch them. Yeah, very good point. Good, so now it's late. In here. Grantaraj Shiman Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Chaitanya Gaura Premanandi ki.